It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
I'm David Green, and our colleague Renee Montaigne is in Afghanistan all this week and next week. She's there for Afghanistan's presidential election, which is a critical moment. For the first time since America went to war there, the man who's come to personify the country for Americans, Hamid Karzai, will not be on the ballot. Now, whoever wins this election will help forge the way ahead, and this includes deciding whether thousands of American troops will remain in Afghanistan after this year. We're on the line with Renee in Kabul to get an idea for what she's expecting in this weekend's election. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, David.
Well, it's good to hear your voice from over there. Are Afghans starting to pay attention to this election that you're following?
They're in the thick of it over here and have been following it really intensely since debates began several weeks ago. The campaigns have been going since early February, and there have been a dozen debates where candidates got to lay out their platforms, and people have been tuning in, millions of Afghans. There's a lot of interest in the streets, and many listeners might be surprised by this given the surge in violence here in recent weeks, but the leading candidates have been putting on rally after rally, crisscrossing the country, drawing thousands of supporters to cheer them on. I mean, I traveled to Kandahar yesterday to attend the rally for Abdullah Abdullah. And it's worth remembering that Kandahar is the former stronghold of the Taliban. Abdullah's political base is in the north, which resisted the Taliban. But there he was, talking to the crowd.
Now that I'm in Kandahar, this is the land where people have produced many heroes, scholars, and people who've endured a lot of suffering. This is the house of the founder of Afghanistan. He envisioned a progressive country, a developed country.
And there you go, David, on the campaign trail here. Talk of progress goes over very well with voters, even in conservative Kandahar.
Well, I guess, as we mentioned, you know, Hamid Karzai is the name that a lot of Americans know so well. Tell us who some of these other candidates are. And, you know, I gather these are names we might be hearing more about in the coming weeks.
Well, definitely, because at least one of them is going to be president eventually. Now, I just mentioned Abdullah Abdullah. He was the candidate who lost to incumbent Hamid Karzai in the disputed 2009 election. He's well known for his closeness to Ahmad Shah Massoud, the legendary commander who fought the Soviets and the Taliban. And that association to the Mujahideen has been a huge positive for Abdullah. Running neck and neck with him is a former top World Bank official, Ashraf Ghani, whose appeal to voters seems to be his experience in education and development. And the third key candidate is Zalmay Rasool, and he's a one-time foreign minister who's seen as Karzai's chosen successor, which is turning out to be both a positive and a negative for him.
And Renee, as you've been learning more about these candidates, I mean, how big a difference does it make who wins here?
Well, for the candidates, of course, it makes a big difference because they care a lot. For the country, maybe not so much, David. They're all widely respected as candidates. And it's a toss-up as to who will get the most votes next Saturday. A runoff is widely expected. Shahrzad Akbar, who's a leader of an influential youth group here, summed it up this way.
For us, we don't see this as the election that will solve everything, that will bring radical change to our lives. We will see this as a way of saying no to Taliban, saying no to terrorism, saying no to wars over power. The win for me is that we have a smooth transfer of power democratically from one person to another person, and people show up to vote in all parts of Afghanistan.
So Renee, she said smooth transfer of power there. There's a big question, though, about whether this election can actually be carried out safely.
Well, the transition, of course, depends a little bit on how the candidates take losing for those who will, inevitably. But yes, real safety, physical safety is a big issue here. The Taliban promised weeks ago that it would disrupt the election. And our correspondent here in Kabul, Sean Carberry, has been looking into exactly that question, not only whether the election can be conducted without violence, but also whether it will be fair under the insecure circumstances here. And here's his report.
As much as this has been the sound of the presidential campaign in Afghanistan in recent weeks, so has this. While the candidates have been traversing the country holding huge rallies, the Taliban have been staging suicide attacks. They've targeted election offices and civilian compounds in Kabul in an effort to derail Saturday's election. The militants have gone so far as to warn Afghans that they are risking their lives should they go out to vote.
There's not going to be any way to completely insulate the entire election structure from violence.
U.S. Ambassador James Cunningham says that the violence, while expected, won't be enough to prevent or invalidate the election.
There are other places in the world where elections have been held under situations of greater stress than this.
For example, recent elections in Iraq. And with the exception of an attack on the luxury Hotel Serena that killed 5 Afghans and 4 foreigners, the recent attacks have made a lot of noise and jangled nerves, but they haven't been that deadly by Taliban standards.
I actually remain optimistic.
Nicholas Haysom, the number 2 UN official in Afghanistan, says that while there have been more high-profile attacks in Kabul this year, there's actually less violence across the country than in the run-up to the 2009 vote.
So it seems to me there's at least as strong an argument that the Taliban are actually having difficulty in mustering the kind of violent campaign of intimidation to disrupt the elections.
Though everyone expects the violence to escalate through Election Day. One major difference between the 2009 election and this one is that Afghan rather than NATO forces are now responsible for securing the elections. U.S. and U.N. officials express confidence that the Afghans have an effective security plan in place. Afghanistan's Independent Election Commission just announced that about 10% of the 7,100 polling centers across the country will not be able to open due to insecurity. That's actually a significant improvement over the 2009 election. And according to Nader Nadiri, the chairman of an Afghan election watchdog organization, the recent violence is creating a sense of defiance among Afghans.
People's reaction has been, we vote. The resolve that I have seen in the past few days is unprecedented.
And we found that resolve among Afghans who have been jostling all morning in a line outside a voter registration center in Kabul. 33-year-old shopkeeper Mohammed Amin says he's been waiting in line for 3 days. He's eager to vote, though he says it's clear there will be fraud. Though even that fear isn't deterring Afghans. Past votes in Afghanistan have been notoriously fraudulent. This year, for the first time, there are barcoded ballots and systems to prevent tampering and ballot box stuffing, though they are untested measures.
One of the most effective ways of preventing fraud is by ensuring the fullest possible deployment of observers.
Haysom with the UN says there will be thousands of Afghan election monitors across the country, though this year there will be far fewer international observers. 2 observer organizations pulled out after one worker was killed in the Hotel Serena attack. That's of concern to Nader Nadiri.
Fewer international observers is going to create issues with the transparency of the election.
Perhaps the best hope the elections will be less fraudulent is that President Hamid Karzai isn't running for re-election. People say his hold on the levers of power is weaker, and he won't be able to throw the vote in favor of his preferred candidate.
That's NPR's Sean Carberry reporting from Afghanistan, and our colleague Renee Montaigne has joined him there. And Renee, you're going to be there for a couple weeks.
Yes, David. I'll be covering the election along with Sean this coming Saturday. But also I'll be doing stories on the people who will be shaping the future of this country and revisiting some of the people and places I've come to know over my years of covering Afghanistan at this really very key moment in its history.